Well, good morning, everybody. We are glad to see you here to have you joining us online. Today, we're in part four of our series we've been calling Empower. We've been talking about spiritual gifts. And today, we want to talk to you about some of the gifts that we find in one of the places we find them is in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 that are sometimes referred to as the power gifts. And as we do that, I want to start by introducing you to Steve Cox. This is Steve, and some of you will know him. Him and his wife, Ruth, are a part of our church family worshiping here in Hamilton. Steve, you have been a pastor for a number of years. You're on our prayer team. You help us lead Alpha and a life group. Lots of different places that you've invested here at Westside, so we're thrilled to have you. Thanks for being here today. And Steve, part of why I've asked you to be here is because as we talk about these power gifts today, I know this is an area of interest for you for a lot of years, both as you've studied it, but also had a number of experiences. So thanks for being here this morning and being part of a conversation that we're going to have. I want to start just quickly reading a passage where we learn of some of these gifts from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul writes to the church, "A spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. To one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. To another, the same person gives a message of special knowledge. The same Spirit gives great faith to another and to someone else. One Spirit gives the gift of healing. He gives one person the power to perform miracles and another the ability to prophesy. He gives someone else the ability to discern whether a message is from the Spirit of God or from another spirit. Still another person is given the ability to speak in unknown languages, while another is given the ability to interpret what is being said. It is the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have." So, Steve, I'm going to ask you some questions, but first, a couple of quick definitions there. So we have this list of gifts. I'm going to run really quickly through them, and then Steve and I are going to discuss some of them as we go. So we have things like the gift of faith, which is kind of this unusual ability to recognize when God wants to do something. Maybe that we acknowledge is much bigger than ourselves, things that seem impossible. We read in there discernment of spirits, so the ability to perceive with a real spiritual sensitivity, whether a situation or behavior or teaching, etc., is from God or from a human origin or from somewhere else, maybe something that's deceptive or even demonic. Working of miracles. We have tongues and interpretations of tongues, which is people who find themselves speaking a language that they don't know, haven't learned, or somebody who can interpret that language, or some of these private prayer languages. Healing people, words of knowledge, where people seem to receive a spiritual, natural insight into facts or truths about someone or a situation or a need that they couldn't have known in any other way. Words of wisdom, that is the ability to apply knowledge and spiritual insight. Giving guidance and counsel that aligns with God's purposes, intercession, the special ability to pray, often very persistently, specifically, and powerfully, sometimes for very long periods of time to see frequent or significant answers. So, Steve, with all of that, really quickly, here is my first question on some of those big gifts. Do these things really happen? Like, really, are we supposed to expect this to happen, believe this has happened? We read some of these things in the New Testament, in this passage like this. For some of us, probably, you read them and you would initially say, that seems far out there, or I've never experienced that, or there are things that concern me. Should we expect that these things, these gifts, are actually in operation today? Should we use them?
Yeah, well, that's a good question to start with. But I mean, if we take the Bible seriously and believe that it's inspired and authoritative, then we can't really avoid being open to the fact that spiritual gifts should be part of our normal experience as the Church of Jesus Christ, and supernatural things do happen. I mean, really, I mean, the most supernatural thing is that Jesus was incarnated, came in the flesh, died on a cross, rose from the dead, ascended to the Father. I mean, you can't get more supernatural than that. So we should expect it to be part of a regular part of our Christian lives.
Yeah, I sometimes think if you read through the Gospels, the stories of Jesus' life and his death and resurrection, and you took out all the stuff that maybe is hard for us to believe or seems miraculous, you would go, would any of these people be following Jesus? Yeah. You know, like there are these big groups of people that follow him, and usually it says, well, he went out and he was healing people, or he fed people in these extraordinary ways, and this was a big part of his ministry. And the other thing I often think is, you know, we come to a list like this, and again, a category that some have called the power gifts, and we think, wow, these are supernatural gifts. But for the last few weeks, we've been talking about all kinds of gifts, and they're all supernatural, aren't they? Yeah. They're all workings of the power of God. That's part of what makes a spiritual gift a spiritual gift. And so just because on a list like this, for some of us, we might say, oh, I have a hard time believing them, or maybe I haven't experienced this, doesn't mean we should just say, oh, well, maybe they don't happen.
Yeah, that's right. And I think there's various reasons why it has not been so common in the church today, especially Protestant churches. There's various reasons, just from some of us have received teachings that say, hey, this ended in the first century, although there's no biblical basis for that at all. But I think we've grown up, especially as Protestants, often, and it's partly an overreaction in the Reformation to the Catholic Church and their common acceptance of the supernatural, but we tended to become more rational, rationalistic in our in our thinking and our approach to our faith. So teaching was very important. Proper doctrine is important. But we were a bit leery of the experiential. So it's kind of understandable that it's kind of a cultural thing. It's a teaching thing that we would not be, we haven't experienced it, haven't observed it perhaps, and just a little bit hesitant around it. You know, but I think a lot of people are experiencing spiritual gifts often, and they don't realize it. And maybe you've realized that too when you're praying or you get a sense of something. The last church I pastored, I had a woman come up, a very sincere, strong Christian, and she said, Steve, I need to share you something. I'm not too sure if I'm going crazy or not, but you know, I'll be passing by people and I'll get insights into things about their lives, like private things that no one else could know. And later on, I find it's true. It's like, what's wrong? Is what's happening? and I said, well, I think that God has given you the gift of word of knowledge, where you know things about people that only the Holy Spirit can show. And she said, oh, she was so relieved. And then I had a chance to share with her maybe ways that she could exercise that gift. I said, God may not be leading you to talk to someone about something very private, but you can pray. You can pray for them, and then as the Spirit leads, you can go gently bring up the subject and see if it leads to ministry. So that's just one example, but I think I've often encountered people who are experiencing gifts but don't fully understand what's happening, but God's at work.
And we want to start by saying that probably in our church, and if you're watching online, there's probably a big spectrum of experience that people are coming into, even a conversation on things like this. And so, as you mentioned, we might have people here or watching that would say, I think I experienced some of the things, or I know that I experienced some of these things, and I want to learn more about it and figure out how to grow in those gifts. We also probably, there's some of us come and go, I find this hard to believe. I'm skeptical about it. I feel like this kind of thing could be a form of spiritual abuse, or there could be all kinds of negatives that go with it. Or maybe they've had a negative experience in their past with some of this. Where does some, Steve, talk about where some of that, even in like the next chapter from chapter 12, we have some of where some people have got this idea that, oh, maybe these gifts were just for a short time for the earliest Christians and that they were going to stop and cease and that, oh, well, you know, it's not for us to worry about these things anymore. Right. Things like speaking in tongues in 1 Corinthians 13, I think, where Paul says these are going to cease. And so how do you take a passage like that?
Yeah, so that's verse in 1 Corinthians 13 where, you know, Paul is talking about love, which is, as Dave said a few weeks ago, it's a proper context for the exercise of the gifts. But that one verse which says, you know, when the perfect comes, then these gifts will cease, because we know in part and we prophesy in part and such. There was a particular interpretation of that scripture that was popular was popularized by a certain theologian that said, well, that referred to when the perfect comes, that refers to when the Bible was fully written, when the canon of New Testament scripture was written, and no more revelation. And they put that around at the end of the first century, which is not quite accurate anyways, but... And so they said, okay, then we don't need these gifts anymore because now we have the Bible. But that's not what that verse is referring to. It's referring to when the perfect comes, Paul is referring to when Jesus returns at the end of time in victory and judgment, and when the kingdom comes in fullness. That's when we don't need these gifts anymore. We do need them right now, in between the time of Jesus' resurrection and the outpouring of the Spirit, and as we wait and work and live with Jesus before he comes. He has given us these gifts to empower us to actually continue to do what he did. That's what his desire was. Continuing the work of Jesus, the ministry of Jesus, in the power of his Spirit. So that's my explanation of that particular verse.
Yes. Amazing. Amazing. So that brings, at least to me, it brings a little bit of excitement because, like, these are the cool gifts, right? These are because they're mysterious and you think, wow, there's something different about them. And yet also a bit of a sense of suspicion that is there. And there's reasons why we have that. Oh, yeah. Again, maybe from the scriptures, ways that we interpret certain parts of scripture, but also from things that maybe we've seen or experienced. So maybe we've seen people on TV that are healing people and we go, is this actually... You know, is there long term? Is this working? This seems like a show. It seems maybe disingenuous sometimes, or can we really trust these kinds of things? And so, again, we might come and go, this sounds kind of really cool, but also, oh, I could see it getting off the rails, or it could be abused or misused.
Yeah.
What would we say about those kind of things?
And it can be. Anything can be misused, really. And that's one thing to keep in mind. I mean, you know, evangelism can be misused. An evangelist can get up and manipulate people. Teaching can be misused if someone's teaching error. And so, yes, the Corinthians were misusing the gift of tongues. They got kind of out of control with that one and were just lacking wisdom. And so he had to bring some correction to that. But just because something is being misused doesn't mean that we should totally abandon it. The Corinthians also made a mess of communion. Paul brought a really strong correction to them about how they misuse communion. That doesn't mean that they abandon communion and throw that out. That's not for today. So, and I think that we can get turned off by things we've seen, you know, and on TV, you know, and a certain style. I think that in certain circles. Such there's a style like in the name of Jesus, you know, and then they hit somebody,
gotta knock you over,
someone over, and you think, oh, good grief, is this real or what? But you know, it doesn't have to be that way. It can be very calm and normal. You don't have to be weird at all. You know, one church which I really appreciate that has modeled spiritual gifts in a very healthy way is Holy Trinity Brompton in London, UK. That's the church where the Alpha course comes from. And my wife and I have been there a few times. I just love, compared to, say, some of the hyper-spirituality you sometimes see in North America, they do it in this typically very low-key British way. So it's like, and it's so relaxing to see. I was there. What they do often is they'll pray before the service, and at the end of the service, they'll come up and they'll pray for words of knowledge, anything the Holy Spirit wants to show them in terms of getting ready for ministry time. And then at the end of the service, they say, well, we were praying beforehand, and we feel God wants to minister to certain people, and we have these words of knowledge. And they share it in a very low-key way, and then they invite people up. One example of that I just read this week from the website was, which is a really fascinating story. One of the people got up and said, we felt the Holy Spirit say, there's a young man here today. You're a very hardworking, successful businessman. You've saved up, and this week you're getting a convertible sports car, a brand new convertible sports car, delivered, and you'll be picking it up. And you're going to do that, and you're going to find that it doesn't satisfy you, that you're still, your life still feels flat. And in the service that morning, there was a young, enthusiastic businessman who was getting his sports car delivered that week. And so that was a word of knowledge that was directly by the Holy Spirit for that person. And he came up later on and prayed with someone. He eventually became a Christian. So that's how, that's maybe a dramatic example, but that's how it can be done, what it looks like for the Holy Spirit to work through the gifts in a very calm, normal way. It doesn't have to be weird.
It doesn't have to be weird. And I love what you said at the beginning there. These are things, they can be misused or abused, but just because some of these gifts, maybe we have a harder time explaining them or totally understanding them, but is not untrue of other gifts. So I don't want this to get out, but one of my gifts is teaching, and I've been wrong about certain things. I have over time changed my mind about things that I have taught and then studied further and said, oh, I'm understanding this differently and maybe we need to have a different perspective on this and change my, and you would go, hopefully we wouldn't say, oh, well, you don't have that gift or that gift, has been badly misused and so you get kicked out of the church. You say, even within these gifts, it doesn't mean that we're infallible because we have certain spiritual gifts. Just because we're given a spiritual gift doesn't mean, well, now, I can do whatever I want and it's going to be perfect. It means that we've been given these gifts, but actually we need to learn how to use them. Yeah. And over time, we're going to hone them and we're going to grow in them. Yeah. So let's talk a little bit more about how we might see growing in these gifts. So let's say, Steve, that somebody says, I think maybe I experienced some of these things, or maybe I have one of these gifts, but it's new to them. What would be a good perspective on them to try and learn more about that gift or to grow in that gift?
Yeah, good question, Dave. And one thing I've discovered is that the gifts are expressed most in a most healthy way in the context of service, when we're just serving others. So whether you sense you have a gift or not, the most important thing is to be serving others in the body of Christ and outside the body of Christ, just in the name of Jesus. And it's usually very often in that context that we begin to discern that perhaps God has given us a gift in a certain area. And then, like you said, Dave, the next thing is to realize that there's this whole thing of progressive growth. And we apply this principle in other areas of life, like say someone might have an aptitude for music, but they still have to, if they want to play the piano, they still have to take piano lessons and practice for years and years and years to get good. Or someone may have an aptitude for sports. Well, they still have to train and practice and get better and make mistakes. So it's the same with spiritual gifts. We need to allow ourselves a room to grow, to make mistakes, and to learn. Thirdly, I'd say, and again, 1 Corinthians 12 emphasizes this, that it's in community. We are members of one body. And so I would say, if you sense that you wonder if you have a gift, talk to someone about it. Maybe one of the pastors, someone on the prayer team, or in your small group, and just say, I'm experiencing this and this. What do you think? Make it part of community, and then just kind of learn to exercise it, read about it. There's lots of good books about the spiritual gifts these days, and then get feedback and practicing the gifts in small groups. I think is one of the best ways to grow in them. I did the gifts test this week, and so one of the gifts it said I had was kind of in evangelism, which is like one of the first things that happened. But I remember way back when I was just growing in this, I was with a group of people who were doing evangelism, And people would give me feedback, you know. One guy came up and said, "Steve, you know, it helps if you smile when you're talking to people." I said, "Oh, yeah," because I was so intense and serious, right? So we need that kind of feedback. And so those are some ways we can grow.
Yeah, and a real humility to know we're going to make mistakes, and we need to learn. So there's a progression, and we should expect a progression, just like you said, whether it's music, whether it's sports, whether it's these spiritual gifts, that we will progress, we will learn, we will grow, especially in community as we practice them. So let's talk a bit about, I want to dive into a couple of specific examples of gifts and maybe share some experiences. But as we're talking, it seems so important to me to just focus on the purpose of these gifts so that we don't walk away with a list. Again, some of the list of these quote-unquote power gifts, we might go, wow, they seem spectacular, like a big deal, that we could get off track on even what the purpose is. And so I love what John Thompson says about these gifts. And he's a pastor not far from here and has a powerful ministry in spiritual gifts in their church. And he says that these gifts point to the power and presence of God. They build up the church and glorify God. They bring credibility to the church's witness and meets needs. And so we're reminded that if we came to gifts like this, if our expression of them was making us look like, wow, we're a really big deal, look at how powerful these people are, we're probably already off track. Because the purpose of these gifts is actually to point to God's presence with us to do things we could never do. And for us even to look around and say, that's something that unmistakably God is doing, not something that we could manufacture. Yeah. So with that in mind, I want to talk about a couple of these examples. And I would say, especially on this first one, there's probably a bit of a theoretical answer to this question, but it's one that is very experiential for a lot of us. So we think about a gift like healing. And this is part of my story. There's a time in my life, my dad got sick. He was young, he was in his 40s, cancer. And we had the elders come and anoint him with oil. We had hundreds of people praying as we gave updates and praying for his healing. And in the end, he wasn't healed. And there's probably a lot of us that have a similar experience where someone that we loved or cared for, we were praying for them. We maybe had this really deep faith that God was going to heal them, and maybe there would be people gifted to do that, and the prayers weren't answered in that way. And so how would we come to some of these gifts and say, why sometimes do they seem rare? Did we do something wrong? Why did somebody not get healed? How would we approach something that isn't just theoretical, but very difficult and personal for a lot of us?
Yeah, so I mean, I've struggled with the same thing because my first wife and I, you know, believe strongly in the gifts and in healing, and she got cancer and 15 years ago and died 13 years ago, and had a strong faith for healing, and that didn't happen that time. Although I've been involved in healing type ministries like healing rooms for many years, and I've seen other people healed dramatically. And so, what do you do with that? And the one, what I find helpful is to see the gifts in the context of the kingdom now and not yet. Jesus came to inaugurate, to bring the kingdom of God, God's reign, where heaven's reality breaks into our earth's reality. So forgiveness, we receive forgiveness, justice, and healing. There is no sickness in heaven. And so when heaven touches earth, healing happens. Salvation and forgiveness happens. Justice should happen. And yet, Jesus inaugurated the kingdom. And we read in the scriptures where the kingdom is here and it's growing, but it's not here in fullness. We sang that song, we read the scripture this morning from Revelation 20:21. On that day there shall be no more pain, no more tears, no more sorrow. So that's pointing to when Christ comes and at the end of time, and the kingdom is here in fullness, and there is no more sickness. So now we're in this in-between time where you and I, as followers of Christ, filled with his Spirit, are working with him and walking with him to bring the kingdom, to bring the good news. And so it's now and not yet. So sometimes healings happen, and sometimes they don't, and we don't always know why. And when I went through my experience, I found that truth particularly comforting. I did all that I knew to do, and it didn't happen. So I just, it's a mystery. I don't fully understand it. I didn't get down on myself. I said I gave it my best shot, and I just gave it back to God. So that's one way of, I think an important way of looking at this, where, you know, sometimes things happen and sometimes they don't. We don't always understand why.
Yeah, and there was a John Wimber quote that you shared
with me.
That I loved. You'll know it better than me. We used to pray for nobody, and nobody got healed.
Yeah.
And now, what's the second part of that?
He said, now we pray for everybody, and some are healed.
And some are healed.
Right?
Okay.
So, yeah.
And it's a reminder, and this is part of what makes it a little bit difficult, but we don't get to control God. We don't control our spiritual gifts. We operate with what we know, what we've been given, what he's put before us, with some faith. And part of using our gifts, again, whether it's part of this list or another one, is surrendering them to God and what he's going to do. Not to what our expectations are, not to what we've sort of said, this is how it's supposed to happen, even when that's really difficult for us. Talk a little bit about, Steve, about the gift of speaking in tongues.
Right.
And people who might be unfamiliar with that or wondering about that,
okay.
Or people who maybe are experiencing that and are looking for a little bit more information.
Good, okay. But how are we doing for time?
Okay, we're okay. We have 5 more minutes.
Okay, fine, good. Not half an hour? No.
Not half an hour.
The tongues is a really interesting one, and which, you know, some people think, well, good grief, what's that? And it seems so weird. So I'll tell you my personal story on that, and this is my first experience of spiritual gifts. When I was a teenager, I used to come home from school every day, and before supper I'd have my quiet time or my devotions in my bedroom, read the Bible and pray. And I grew up in a very good church, very loving church that taught me about Jesus. I became a Christian there when I was 14, was baptized. Very good in that way, but I never heard, I don't recall hearing one message about the Holy Spirit. But as I was growing and reading the Bible every day, I was reading through the book of Acts, and I saw all this stuff about this, the power that's available to us as Christians and different gifts and praying in tongues, and I thought, what's that all about? And I was just curious. I just wanted whatever God had for me. So I remember praying, I was about 17 at the time, I remember praying, Lord, if that's real, I want it. Well, that's a dangerous prayer to pray, to say, God, you know, whatever you have, I want, Lord. So about two weeks later, I was in my bedroom, I put my Bible on the bed, I'd be on my knees praying, and I was just doing my regular thing, and then suddenly this overwhelming joy just flowed through me, and I felt this language bubbling up inside me. I was in control, I didn't lose control. But I decided, okay, I'll give voice to this. And I started, what I realize now, I started praying in tongues and praising God in tongues. It was a very intense and joyful experience. I'd never experienced God's presence like that before. I did that for about 5 minutes, and then I thought, oh, this is stupid, and I stopped. About a week later, I met another high school student at a Christian event and who had a similar experience, and then he and I became good friends, and I started growing in my understanding of that. So that, you know, there's two kinds of tongues. One is a public expression of it, which needs an interpretation if it's going to be in public. But there's also a private prayer language tongue. Paul talks about this in 1 Corinthians 14, where he says our spirits are communicating directly with God's spirit, and it builds us up on the inside spiritually. And so that's what I experienced, and I pray in tongues every day, on and off. And it's just, it doesn't mean I'm more spiritual at all. It doesn't mean that everyone has to experience that. But this is something that's available. And it's interesting, Dave. One of the things, results of that experience for me was in high school. I was very, very shy, almost pathologically shy, as an individual, and it changed my personality, and I started to be more outgoing, to the point where I was actually going out with people on the street doing street witnessing. This is in the early 70s, so that was the thing that was done in those days. But that was one of the fruits of this experience, was that it gave me that passion to share Jesus. So anyways, that's my experience. Again, praying in tongues, it can just be a regular part of our spiritual experience. And all we have to do is ask for any of these gifts. Just ask.
Just ask. And I love that. You might say, we actually see that in Scripture, it's good to desire the gifts.
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
And again, I don't think we have to say that's only true of these gifts that we're talking about today, but to desire the things that God has for us, and not to say, God, you have to do this for me. This is the gift that I want, yeah. And I don't want any of the other gifts, because we don't get to control those things.
Yeah.
But it's okay to come to God and to pray and to say, God, I desire this. I desire to experience more of you, to experience you in different ways. We sing about that all the time in some of our worship songs. We want to experience you more, God, in your presence. And so for us to pray that and to even be given some of this information on spiritual gifts is really great. If you haven't experienced this, to say, God, I desire this. I would love for you to give me this gift. And then to let him say yes or no, or maybe in a different way that you didn't expect.
That's right, yeah. Yeah, and God will work through our desires too. Well, we may notice we have a real passion and desire for doing certain things, whether it's sharing our faith or serving in hidden ways or teaching in Sunday school. That it just gives us a real joy. Well, that's an indicator that that's a gift that God has given you.
Okay, so this is 4 weeks now in this series, and hopefully people along the way have been thinking about the way that they're gifted, the way that they've experienced God's gifts for them through the Holy Spirit. Our hope is that this wouldn't just be information, but that along the way, as you think through your own experiences and your own wiring and ways that God has gifted you, that all of us will find ways, whether it's in our family, our neighborhood, at our work, in the church, that we'll find ways to use these gifts. Steve, I'll put you on the spot a little bit, but just as we close in the last 3 or 4 minutes, what else would we say about how people maybe would just go from here, take this information, and to pursue using their gifts? What would be some of the most important things that we might say?
Yeah, I think the most important thing is to hunger for God. You know, there's it's almost a cliche, we seek the giver, not the gifts, but that is true. So I think to pray, Lord, and pray this regularly, Lord, fill me with your Spirit. Give me a fresh infilling of your Spirit. I just want to know you and serve you and have all that you have to give me. God loves that prayer. He gladly gives good things to his children. And then to pray, Lord, whatever gift you have for me, I want. I surrender to you. Not putting any conditions on God. And then I would just say, pray and see where God wants you to serve in different ways. And sometimes you have to kind of find different places to serve. And then you'll realize, I have a special joy and effectiveness in this area. Try different things. And again, like we said before, talk to people about it if you sense. One thing to do is to pray and even to have people pray with you and for you for that. I mean, Paul said to Timothy, stir into flame the gift that you have through the laying out of my hands, remember? So there's that communal thing also.
Beautiful. We would love for you, here's a couple of other very practical places for you to kind of work some of this out and talk about it, pursue it. Life group is a perfect time, and this week we hope that you'll dive a little bit deeper and talk to people that you know and that you trust and that maybe you can ask questions about or explore things, have people pray for you. So that's a really good spot. Of course, there's probably people in your life that in your family or close friends or people from the church that you can dive into. We also, every week here at Westside, we have up front some of our prayer team people, and they are wonderful people to connect with. And if some of these gifts you have more questions about or you think you might have experiences in but you want to know more about, we've asked Steve to stick around today a little bit. We have other people from our prayer team. Connect with them, and even if it's connecting for a coffee or a further conversation, we would love for you to do that and to explore the gifts that maybe God has given to you. Because if God has given me gifts, you gifts, us as individual gifts, actually it means he's given us collectively these gifts to be worked out and used as a church. And that's where the power is going to come from. For us to do what God calls us to do is not from us, but from what his Holy Spirit is doing in us and around us. And so that's what we're excited for as we continue to open up our eyes and our ears to what God would have us for, and hopefully for us to surrender ourselves into following him. Steve, thanks for being here. Thanks for your wisdom for us and sharing. I'm going to pray for this time, and we're going to move on in our service. Heavenly Father, we thank you for giving us these gifts of your Spirit. We thank you for ways that we've experienced your power that point us to your goodness and your love and the grace that you want to lavish upon us. We pray that these would be areas that we would grow in, whatever our gifts might be that you're given to each of us, that we would be the kind of people, the kind of church who would rely on your power and what you're doing in us and through us, and that the result and the fruit would be that people would come to know you and come to have a deep relationship with you, to experience your love, and that your kingdom would come here in greater and greater ways all the time. In the name of Jesus, amen.